Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. my sermon title today is Love Your Enemy. Love Your Enemies. We're still in Romans 12, the gold mine. Amen. Mr. Romans over there. Relating to those in the Christian family. Start with verse 9. Love must be sincere. Of course, love without sincerity isn't real love at all. But much of what looks like love in the Christian community is laced with hypocrisy and should be stood up against or challenged. Amen? You know, in our ministry of Celebrate Recovery and here at Amazing Grace, we're not afraid to express our love for each other and for God. We should all be sincere in our love and admiration for each other. As the body of Christ. We're all the body of Christ, amen? We're family. In some ways, it's often easier for us to either hate what is evil or cling to what is good. For the Christians, we should be able to do both. Godly persons should know how to practice both. We should cling to what is good, the Father, and we should hate together, hate and fight what is evil in the world. Amen? And by that, I mean, you know, I'd like to start with talking about parental guidance for our kids and our grandkids. We really need to watch and center what they're looking at these days. You know, there's so many bad R-rated things that they're putting on TV these days. Even the cartoons, you know, the kids' cartoons. They're not kids. Some of them cartoons are incredible, you know. We gotta censor what they look at. You know, these all the kids know how to work these cell phones now. You know, if you don't keep an eye on them, or if you don't put blocks on those phones and then tablets, they'll next thing you know they're watching pretty bad stuff. So that's a way. There's a website or a group called 1 Million Moms. It monitors social media, movies, TV shows, and when they find certain ones that are sinful, they start petitions against them. And you can go on their site, 1 Million Moms, and sign petitions to do away with some of the filth in the social media world. Amen. I think, yeah, and they were the ones that Pastor Rick's Carl's ban on Carl's Jr. It was Pastor Robin, but it was actually 1 Million Moms that that caused them to change their commercials. So, but TV shows also, you know, you get TV shows like Modern Family and The Mick, and just some of the stuff we can't even believe it's on TV, you know. I mean, if people want to watch stuff like that, it should be, you know, it should be a cable channel or something. I mean, just regular TV, it's incredible what they put on TV these days. So we just need to watch what is evil in the world and stand up against it and keep our families and our especially our kids from evil. Amen. And I'll say this more than once, but, you know, all these things we do through the power of God and the Holy Spirit, from the power of God, but through the Holy Spirit living in each and every one of us. Amen? So Matthew Henry would say, we must not only not do what's evil, but we must hate that which is evil. We must hate sin with an utter and irreconcilable hatred. We must feel as though it's the worst of all evils, contrary to our new nature and our truest interests, hating all the appearances of sin, even the garment spotted with the flesh. And by the garment spotted with the flesh, it means that, you know, there may be an allusion or a reference to a garment that is worn by one who's had the plague or just something that's unclean. Amen? Verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Like we do here when we share God's peace, we're showing love for each other. Amen. Right off the bat, right? As soon as we get started here. So everyone knows where we're coming from. This is a command that Christians should not have a cold, standoffish attitude with each other, or with anybody for that matter. Amen? We should all be welcoming to everyone and hospitable, especially towards our fellow Christians. Amen? So honoring one another above yourselves, that's showing that the displays of affection that are in you are genuine, and it also shows the light of the Lord coming at you. Amen? Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. In other words, if we are called to warm relations and good manners, we also know that we are called to hard work. There's no place in the church for laziness. Amen? So we should all get involved with the church when we can. We should all volunteer. We should all sign up for prayers and for donations, whatever you can do for the church. If you got the time or the resources, give to the church, help the church. It's our body of Christ. It's do it for the kingdom of God. Amen? Proverbs 18:9 says, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. And I take that as just basically sinners are lazy. And we as Christians and we as the body of Christ, we should be helpful and hardworking, not only in our families, but also in our church. That's just the type of people that we are called to be. Amen? Being joyful in hope. The call to hope usually has in mind the ultimate reward with Jesus. Amen? That should be our hope. Our hope should be the promise that we have in the Lord. Paul says that we serve God being joyful in hope, not being joyful in results. So, not in answered prayers or in things that we acquire, just things that we acquire. But, in other words, when we're going through hard times, we should just pray harder and just keep hope and know that we have the promise of the Lord. Amen? This will show that we are commanded to do all these things with an eye towards heaven. And this is how we fulfill the command for hope, patience, and steadfast character. So, difficult times don't excuse us to abandon hope or our prayer. It doesn't excuse us to have a lack of love for the body of Christ. Now, in other words, no matter how bad things get, we should never give up. The Lord waits on us to change our lives. The Lord waits. The Lord's always there waiting for us. 15 years ago, I was out on the streets, out here on the streets, I don't want to get into too much detail, but, I was running with the wrong crowd, but the Lord was waiting for me, and the Lord was working on me. And little did I know that part of that wrong crowd would be someone that would bring me to this church that would change my life forever. Amen? Our care and concern will demonstrate itself in practical deeds done for others. So either going to them, like sharing with the Lord's people in need, or inviting them to come to us, like in practicing hospitality, okay? So the ancient Greek word for hospitality is literally translated love for strangers. That's the translation, the ancient translation for hospitality. So as in Romans 12:14, the idea is to pursue people you don't know with hospitality. The people we see standing on the corner, homeless people, people with drug addictions, people, we need to be there for them. They're battling these demons, and we all need to be there to provide for them. Amen. Like that homeless pastor story. I know some of you probably heard it, but the one where there's a pastor that they got a new pastor for the church. And it's a mega church. They got like 10,000 people going there, right? Like our church, yeah, just like almost, pretty close. but yeah, so the new pastor, he grows his hair all long, and he's got a scruffy beard, and he dresses like a homeless person. And he goes to the church that morning, and he walks in the church, and he starts asking people at the door for money for food. He's hungry, he needs money for food, and nobody will give him any money, you know. And later on, he goes on in, and he sits up front, and he's trying to greet people, say hi to them, say hi, you know, how you doing, my name is so-and-so. And nobody, you know, they just shut him off, and they look away from him, and they look down on him, so eventually the ushers come up, and they ask him, you know, hey, can you please move to the back of the church? They don't even want him. You know, because of the way he's looked, he doesn't even want to sit at the front of the church. So this goes on for a while, and after, you know, 7,500 people show up for church, and not one of them offers to say hi or help him or anything, you know. And so they start the service, and he's sitting in the back of the church, and they get through the first couple songs, and they get ready to introduce the new pastor. And the usher stands up front and says, I'd like to introduce you to our new pastor. And the guy gets up from the back of the church, and he walks up, and he gets on the mic, and he says, good morning, I'm your new pastor. And, you know, and it's eye-opening, and it just goes to show, you know, that's what God's saying, that we should, you know, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. You know, that's what we're called to do. Amen. So you never know. Could be Jesus that you're shining off or walking by. Amen? Okay. Verse 14, relating to those outside the Christian family. So we need to bless those. Paul says that we need to bless those who persecute us. We're not to have a hateful attitude towards anyone. You know? That brings up to my mind a road rage. You know, that's something that I still kind of battle with at times, you know, because I'm supposed to love everyone, but when these people cut me off on a three-way, sure, it's not easy to do, you know? It's like, but I find myself more and more just praying for them and thanking God that I didn't get an accident, you know? That's, you know, you just pray for the people. I mean, especially when they get all mad, and they get mad at you because they cut you off. I'm like, really? Come on, you know, back in the day, I would have, you know what I mean? Just, yeah, I got a big truck. I'll drive right over them, right? So, you know, we're supposed to bless those who persecute us, and I know it's not an easy thing to do, but the power of God through the Holy Spirit, you know, it takes time. It takes practice, but we can do it. Amen? Another short story is, recent story, that Facebook murder deal, that guy that murdered the guy on Facebook, and they showed the video. So horrible. So Anderson Cooper was interviewing two of the daughters of the guy that was murdered, and the daughters were talking to him and saying that, well, they got to the point where, you know, after that they were saying that they wished that they could hug the guy that killed their father and tell him that they forgive him. You know? And Anderson Cooper's looking at him, and he's like, what? He goes, how can you guys even... This just happened. How can you say that? How can you say that you forgive the guy? He just killed your father. And the girls, the daughters, told him that their father, the one that got murdered, him and his wife, that's how they raised him. They raised him in a Christian home, and they raised them to love their enemies, because that's what the Lord calls them to do, you know? So, but Anderson Cooper's like, what? You don't get it, you know? They don't get it, but that's... right. So that's what Paul means by blessing those who persecute us, amen? So Jesus also spoke of this same heart in Matthew 5:46, where he said, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? So what he's saying is, you know, us as Christians should love all people to Christ. It's like our mission statement says, love all people to Christ. Amen? Anybody can love their immediate family. Everybody should love their immediate family. But it's, you know, it's a command from God for us. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to love all people to Christ. And in doing so, the people see the love of the Lord in us. They see the light of God in us. And you know, and that's, you never know when that's going to lead to plant a seed to turn someone's life around. That's what we're called to do. Amen. So the surpassing greatness of the love of Jesus in us is shown in that it can be extended to our enemies. So it's just another way of saying, you know, we need to always be showing our love to everyone, whether it's enemies or not. Amen. Those who persecute you, of course, not all persecution comes from outside the church. Jesus told us in John 16:2 that the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God a service. And what came to mind for me when I read that was, you know, is ISIS. You know, their God. They think their God is telling them to kill Christians, but if you look here in verse 3, it says, they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. They know their God. They don't know our God. They don't know the Father. And that's why the Lord tells us that, you know, that we need to be careful that the time is coming when they will kill us, try to kill us and persecute us. Amen? And then Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Amen? So even after, like Jesus was on the cross, even afterwards, he still forgives them, and that's what the Lord calls us to do. Amen? Verse 15, how to get along with people both inside and outside the church. So, we need to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we need to mourn with those who mourn. You know, this is how we can live in harmony with one another, and it's a simple command to be considerate of the feelings of others instead of waiting for them to be considerate of yours. Luke 6:31, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Pretty much explains the whole thing, right? We all know that verse. So be happy for others when they're blessed and when they're doing well, you know, be happy for them, and offer condolences and assistance to those who are mourning and those who are in trouble. That's what we're called to do as Christians, also. Amen. Charles Spurgeon says that we are members of one body, having only one head, and one life throbs through all the members of that body. If indeed we are one with Christ, we are also one with each other. And we must participate in the common joys and the common sorrows of all our elect family. Our forever family. Amen. Paul also cautions us not to be proud by associating with those of low position. We are simply imitating Jesus. And don't be conceited. You know, that reminds us of how far we got to think about how far we still have to go to be like Jesus. And that'll humble you and keep you from being conceited. Amen? Verse 17, this is a tough one here. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Let us recall Jesus' command in Matthew 38:45. In Matthew 5:38-45. I had it marked. Okay. You gotta hear this. Okay. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So we are to love our enemies and treat well those who treat us badly. And be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. So we're talking about living out the idea of praising what is good. That's what we're called to do. People should be able to see what is good and what is not good in us. They should be able to see the light of God in us. Amen. Live at peace with everyone. Reminds us that we are in contrast with the world and we do not seek out contention. If it is possible, we will be at peace with all men. In other words, we're not all going to get along, but we should not seek out to have conflict with people. Amen? Should be at peace with all men, if it is possible. And that indicates that it may not always be possible, but we as Christians should do the best we can. Do not take revenge. The one who trusts God will not think it is necessary to avenge themselves. They will leave the issue of vengeance to God and leave room for God's wrath. I like that part. So we need to get out of the way and leave room for God. God will take the revenge, okay? That's how we get out of the way, yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's just another way to live at peace and to not repay evil for evil is just to remember that God will take care of it. Amen? Not karma, God. Right? Amen. So now with this mindset, we will do good to our enemies, looking for the most practical ways that we can help them. This is the way we are not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with our good. Amen? So that basically explains the whole deal of loving your enemy is, you know, we overcome the evil by being good people, to everyone. Amen. So part of the verse says, "And heaping coals of fire on his head," and in saying that, is it something good in the eyes of our enemy, or is it something bad? Well, it most likely refers to a burning conviction that you give them by treating them well. You know, they're like, "What's this guy doing, man?" You know, they start thinking about it. You know, or some might think that it refers to the practice of lending coals to someone so they can start building their own fire for God. Amen. Nevertheless, we see that we can destroy our enemy by making him our friend, and hopefully changing their lives as well. Amen. So we know that we know what we're supposed to be doing, but it takes the power of God through the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus to overcome our sinful nature. Amen. Thank you all. God bless you.